Yin to the other's gang, two sisters, both curious and strange. A likely duo and they witty from the brain. It's the magic hour, Mercedes and Jay.
Hello and welcome, boys and babes, to the Magic Hour podcast, a place where we navigate through life's peaks and valleys with all the vulnerability and shamelessness we can muster. With the help of world-class guests from all walks of life, we uncover new truths and valuable tools for manifesting our highest potential. I'm your host, Mercedes Terrell, along with my partner in shine, Jade Bryce.
Hey, you guys. So you already know, all of you listening, our magic mob are our favorite people, and we're really enjoying connecting with you one-on-one via social media. So many of you have shared your own personal stories with us, and we're so elated that you felt safe enough to be willing to do that with us.
Yes, and you guys know that being able to share your story is such a major part of your own healing. It's been a huge part of Jade and my healing just through this podcast alone. So thank you so much for letting us be a part of all of that with you.
Yes. And with that in mind, our guest today is someone who's all about being your own best doctor and accumulating the right array of knowledge and tools to heal ourselves fully.
Ugh, yes. I'm so excited to dig in with our guest today because she's got answers, people. I'm not sure how much I've shared here on the podcast yet regarding my own health struggles, but I mean, everything from imbalances in my gut and with my hormones, which for me became gradually apparent through symptoms like lumps in my breasts, chronic constipation, fatigue, acne, depression, anxiety, panic attacks, insomnia, night sweats, so many others, all of which left me searching for answers that Western medicine wasn't able to answer. Well, today's guest is a Western-trained medical doctor who began her journey into healing after her own personal awakening, realizing that allopathic medicine did not have all the answers she and her patients were earnestly seeking. Passionate about teaching people how to be their own best doctor by educating themselves and listening to their body, she dove into the world of Ayurveda, holistic healing, energy work, nutrigenomics, stem cells, cannabis, Gerson therapy, and homeopathy. Her philosophy now embodies true health as being all-encompassing of mind, body, and spirit. I'm extremely honored to welcome a woman whom I wish I would have known about earlier in my own healing journey, but who I'm so excited to get to introduce to our listeners who need her guidance now. It's Dr. Jessica Pietros. Hi.
Yay. Hi.
Hi, Mercedes and Jade. Can you guys hear me okay? Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. Thank you for being here. Oh, we have so much we want to get into with you. I feel like
maybe, I can't wait.
Yeah. Can I first just say that your Instagram account, the content has already led me out of so many dark places in my own life. Mm. And I know some of our listeners can relate, where you just feel like, you know, you're thinking, what's wrong with me? You're searching for the answers. Nobody in Western medicine can give you the answers. And it's such a scary, lonely place to be. So perhaps we can start off with your own background that brought you to open up this whole other world of holistic medicine, since that's where you started.
Yeah. And thank you for that compliment.
That's about,
it's not where I started, actually. It's completely the 180, actually. I'll talk about it in a second, but thank you for the compliment. That really is like Christmas when I hear compliments like that, just to know that I'm accomplishing what I set out to do, which is have a message that's bigger than any one person that affects people and changes their daily habits. So yeah, that's, thank you for letting me know. I started off actually in Western medicine as a hospitalist, and that's a newer specialty in internal medicine. So I really loved everything in medicine. And so internal medicine is a kind of a catch-all where you can do certain specialties and fellowships out of that, including cardiology and rheumatology and, you know, immunology, all those different specialties. So, so I did that. And afterwards I just went to general internal medicine as a hospitalist. I worked at a level one trauma center for almost 7 years. And I was the doc responsible for ER doctors calling me for people in sepsis or having diabetic comas or heart attacks, whatever it was. So I had to know something about everything, a little bit of everything. And I learned a lot, and it really was something that I needed to go through, because it's what eventually woke me up and changed things for me. And what I mean is that when you're in internal medicine, you don't really see a lot of emergencies. You know, you see, or surgical emergencies, I should say, right? Mm-hmm. You don't see a lot of physical trauma. And that's where Western medicine shines. It shines in the ability to, if I break a leg, I'm going to go straight to the hospital, right? Sure. But if you're talking about someone who's had a heart attack, they can save their lives. But then afterwards, is the preventative measure there? Is the education there? Mm. And that's where I saw a lot of patients who never really seemed to get better. And they just got admitted every week, every month, you know, whatever it was. And I really started to feel like, gosh, you know, look what they're feeding people in the hospital, in the cafeteria.
Yeah.
And is chemotherapy the correct answer for everyone with cancer? Mm. And so when I started to question the status quo, I was basically labeled disruptive doctor. And they said, you know, you can't say that. You can't write that that patient's been on a proton and pump inhibitor in the chart for 6 years. That's, you can't say that. But they had. So I really thought I was part of the problem, and it was scary to leave. I mean, I was, you know, $150,000 in debt for medical school education. Yeah. And when you jump out of the system that's already built for you, that already provides a ready-made way to make cash, you go into a system that doesn't have a matrix built in. It doesn't have a hospital system, or a lot of the naturopaths aren't even licensed in states to practice medicine, unfortunately. And so I went over to that side and started practicing functionally and integratively and working more like a naturopath and looking into Eastern medicine modalities. Mm-hmm. And what I saw was that, wow, I really wanted to catch people before they were super sick and you couldn't do a lot. I really wanted to catch them in the early stages when no one knew what was going on, before they'd been labeled with an autoimmune condition. Mm-hmm. And guess what? I started to make the difference. I started to make strides that way. Wow. And that's what matters to me, is really helping to change the face of medicine and really healing people before they have to get to that point where they have to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do feel like so much of Western medicine feels like it's a Band-Aid, you know, solution that isn't sustainable, and figuring out how we can use, I mean, it's still important. Like you're saying, it's not to do away with it altogether at any cost. I mean, we need it.
It's all important. About getting rid of pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. So what about the traumas that you saw that were more internal, not organ trauma specifically, yes, but the more mental trauma that was affecting people's bodies, and maybe your own too. I know I've heard you speak on your own awakening, your own personal awakening, and the pain you went through, mm-hmm, and traumas you went through that kind of got you in that going in that direction.
Absolutely. And, you know, I see, for me personally, you know, I went through a divorce and sort of hit rock bottom and had to question a lot of the ideologies and belief systems I had in place for myself. And that happens to a lot of, I see it paralleled in medicine and health with a lot of clients and patients. You know, it's almost like, man, they change their lives sometimes when they get sick. Mm-hmm. And they change their lifestyle. They change completely radically change their diet. And it's sort of their wake up call.
Isn't it?
And then no one can tell them different. They are the absolute experts at that point. And they are there to show other people that that mountain can be moved.
Mm. I love that. I mean, and your motto, you know, be your own best doctor, is so powerful, because it's, at the end of the day, all we have is ourselves. You know, it's really a matter of, and we're so unique. Each one of us has such an individual, different need from the next person. So putting that out into the world, and you're doing such an amazing job of, you know, preaching that to the world, that and being such a light doing that in your own life. I really just appreciate the work you're doing in that direction.
Thank you guys. Yeah.
Since so much of your work has been about uncovering the real root cause of what we call disease in the body, so I'd love to hear you put words to what you've discovered as those core root causes, you know, gut balance, health, microbiome, all of that stuff.
Absolutely. So I really genuinely feel like disease and the root cause of all disease comes from four different places. And you know, you can mix and match these as you wish, but it's really the four root causes in my professional opinion. And of course, one of mine is going to be stealth-hidden infections, mm-hmm, since that is my specialty. And I see cancers caused by Epstein-Barr virus, and I see you know, mold caused some autoimmune conditions. And I see Lyme disease behind a constellation of symptoms we call fibromyalgia a lot of times, right? Wow. So that is definitely hidden infections are root cause of disease and chronic disease at that. Another one is heavy metals, right? Mercury, A lot of different aluminum, lead, these cause anxiety, ADHD-like symptoms, distractibility. I mean, that's a large portion of the population, right? and then we have things that are other environmental toxins like BPA and styrene and some of those other really harsh endocrine disruptors that confuse our body's estrogen levels and things like that, hormone levels. And then finally, and last but not least, is emotional trauma and stress. And even if you have a baby born with, you know, God forbid, cancer, at some point that baby's genes were changed in their womb, or some genes were passed down from a grandparent. And so one of those four reasons changed those people's genes at some point in the timeline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so important to consider the fact that while we're eating shitty or running our lives the way we're running them, or being exposed to environmental toxins that are affecting us, we're changing our genes in this moment. And that gets passed down through our lineage if we decide to have kids and procreate. That's like, think about that, you know, listeners, if you're listening to this, think about how much what you're doing right now to your body affects the next generation.
Absolutely.
So you brought up, mold. And I'm just curious real quick. I had lived in an apartment with black mold for 6 months, and we moved out of there in the beginning of June. And a couple weeks later, my daughter got like a really bad cough that almost was like asthma, no congestion. But now, so that was end of June. Now we're almost into September. She's still coughing. I've taken her in, tested her for bronchitis, tested her for everything. They say they don't see anything in the x-rays. And they're saying maybe it's acute asthma. But I keep thinking it's related to the mold. None of us, me and my son, do not have any symptoms though.
Absolutely. So just a brief recap on mold. It affects 1 in 4 people differently in the population. So 25% of the population, we suspect, is very sensitive to mold illness or chronic inflammatory response syndrome, CIRS, which means that it's a multi-system attack on the body from being exposed long-term to mold, or some people are sensitive enough to where it's not even, doesn't even have to be long-term. So if she has a specific genetic haplotype, which makes her sensitive, she will have trouble getting rid of the mold, even if the exposure is gone at that point, right?
But because she's a toddler, I can't give her things like charcoal and stuff like that, right?
How old is she?
3.
That's hard, you know, because you have to make sure her detox pathways are open.
Yeah. And
the body can heal at that point. But yeah, it's definitely, when people get diagnosed with acute asthma, children tell me their parents tell me they moved and they grew out of their asthma. It's really just moved out of the moldy house a lot of times. Yeah. Mm.
So maybe with time and healthy eating.
Absolutely. And really making sure her little gut isn't bloated. She's not complaining of belly pain. She's not too fatigued, things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. So when is it okay to take antibiotics?
Question.
I love this question. Okay. So, you know, there are really important times that you should take antibiotics. Anytime you have, you know, anything acute, let's say you have a cellulitis, which is an infection of the soft tissue under the skin. It's advancing, right? Or you have streaking. If you have a spider bite up your arm, it's heading towards your heart, right? These are things, if you have an open wound, right? If you have an injury near an eye, you know, things like this, even sometimes a really virulent strep throat, you know, you need antibiotics at these times, right? They're definitely overused in today's society. It's ridiculous how many chronic diseases and microbiome disturbances are caused by antibiotics. However, thank God for antibiotics on the flip point, right? Because absolutely, if there's an acute emergency and you go to the emergency room, you have a high fever, you know, you have an acute infection, an open wound, anything near the face that's very sensitive, you really want to consider listening to people who advise you to take antibiotics.
So once we have, you know, everybody at this point seems has taken antibiotics at some point in their life. So we have killed off all the bugs that we, you know, the good and the bad. Now how do we replenish? And maybe the better question is, how do we eat properly, use probiotics, figure out what the probiotics or the way we need to eat is so that we can heal our guts?
That's a great question. And I don't know if I can give an exact blanket answer for everyone, because I do believe so much in bioindividuality, and everyone does have different exposures, different genes, different sensitivities. So I try and be very mindful of that with people. But there are a few good rules of thumb, which, you know, remove inflammatory foods from your diet, convenience foods, you know, quick fixes, you know, foods that your ancestors would not recognize, foods with chemicals and things that you turn bags and boxes over and you can't even pronounce them. That's a warning sign to your body. Remove those foods from your diet. They are inflammation producing, absolutely. You also really want to make sure that you're taking some really good probiotics, and that can be different for everyone, right? So there are some ones that have shown to be really, really helpful. Even Saccharomyces boulardii is a biofilm buster. And so that's really important. And replenishing the gut sometimes after antibiotics can take up to a year. It's like deforesting the Amazon. And unfortunately, these studies are new and just coming out. And so I don't think that a lot of us docs had realized in the beginning how detrimental antibiotics are. It's everyone is just trying to do no harm and do their best, right?
I just took antibiotics for a UTI, and I did everything I could for almost 2 weeks instead of antibiotics. And
that's interesting, since you just moved out of a moldy place.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's that correlation?
that's why I got into mold, guys, because it's linked to so many things. I mean, Hashimoto's, thyroiditis, Graves' disease, lupus, fibromyalgia, fatigue syndrome, and it's also linked to painful bladder syndrome or interstitial cystitis. Yes. And so interstitial cystitis feels a lot like a UTI. Sometimes they'll culture it and nothing comes up, right? But even if you have super pubic tenderness and all that kind of stuff, it's very reminiscent of a urinary tract infection. Mm. But a lot of times the cultures are culture negative, and then people are diagnosed with, you just have a plain, painful, anxious, sensitive bladder, right? Mm. That's seeded and colonized by mold many, many times.
Wow. What's the best thing people, because I have so many friends that have been exposed to mold or don't know that they're being exposed to mold. What's the best thing we can do for our entire family to try to detox that?
So avoidance is key. I can't heal anyone if they're still in the exposure. It's like one step forward and two steps back every single time.
And I think because Texas is so humid, I feel like so many of my friends have been around it recently.
You got that. You got it right. Yeah. Exactly. It's a problem. And the way the houses and structures are built is a problem as well. They're exposed to the elements. I mean, does that wood ever dry? And there's a lot of toxic building products as well that are used. So people who have mold, oftentimes their toxic bucket is full, right? They can't handle any other chemical sensitivities or exposures at that time. And mold really, it makes you not be able to hold your urine, makes you super thirsty.
Oh, I have all these. Or both of those.
Shame. I don't like it.
I take a mold tincture every morning. Like, it's like a tincture to help.
Okay.
Texas is so high in mold, so.
Okay, like a homeopathic formula,
yeah,
probably.
It's homeopathic, yeah.
Okay,
and Dr.
You.
Jess, I'm sure you have some protocols for getting that out of your system as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I got to tell you, if you want to go there, the key is binders. Mm-hmm. There's a kind of a rule of thumb, a way you want to give this. You want to check to make sure people are ready for them, because binders can bind all those toxins up, they're mopping things up. And if your bowel movements aren't regular, they're going to feel like an anvil sitting in your gut. Mm-hmm. And then we aren't going to be friends, right?
But are they also taking your nutrients or no?
So they're taking it away from other food and supplements because it binds everything, right? And then what I'll have a lot of people do is go get in the infrared sauna, go do a hot yoga class. So you're taking, that's my Kill Bind Sweat protocol. You're taking an herbal antimicrobial, like Microbiome Master, something like that. If your gut's in really bad shape, I'll put them on something liquid that's more absorbable, you know, rescue your gut first. And then I'll have you mop the toxins up that you're killing with a binder. And then I'll have you guys go sweat it out somewhere. And this formula has saved so many people, and binders are key in not only mold, but tick-borne illnesses as well. And so I just can't say enough about how healing they are for people.
And binders are charcoal and what else?
So there's lots. Zeolite and bentonite clay, activated charcoal, like you mentioned, apple pectin, citrus pectin, silica. There's
earth, maybe?
Yes, diatomaceous earth is one. Absolutely right. And there's so many fulvic and humic acid removed glyphosate, which is Roundup Ready from the villi of the intestines. Mm-hmm. Alpha lipoic acid helps to chelate heavy metals. So there's lots of different amazing, amazing minerals, nutrition and elements that nature provides to us to actually pull things out of our body. It's amazing.
And how about, is it ever like too late to pull that stuff out? Or like say, like a quick example is like when I went to Africa my first time, I got 16 vaccines in one day. And my energy, this is when I was like 22 or 23, I'm now about to be 35. My energy has still never been the same. And I have always thought about that, how I've been fatigued since then. And I was so sick in Africa. The other times I went to Africa, I didn't get any vaccines, didn't get any sickness or anything. But how about like those heavy metals? Is it too late to detox that now for people?
Absolutely not. Absolutely. I'm of the belief that the body we're born perfect. Like if we were born into a toxin-free world, our bodies would behave as they should. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that. And it's the environmental toxicity since the Industrial Revolution that have really polluted a lot of our bodies. And if you give the body the right recipe, it can reverse. It can heal. Mm-hmm. The body is always working for you. It's never attacking itself like autoimmune conditions. It's seeing something. It's seeing something that we can't see that it's attacking. That's what's happening. And so if you give it the right recipe, you're putting good things in, you're able to sweat properly, you're able to go to the bathroom properly, you're sleeping properly, your body has no choice but to heal. It has to. And there comes a certain point, if someone has stage 4 cancer, something like that, it can get too late, because the downside of alternative healing, natural medicine, functional medicine, is that prevention takes time, and healing takes time naturally. You can't give herbs and expect a turnaround in a week or so, usually.
Well, I want to go back to what you said about before you take a binder, for instance, or maybe just in general, that you want to make sure you have consistent bowel movements that are, easy, and you're moving stuff through your body. I like to call myself a pactivist. That's a poop and period activist. it's something we don't talk about enough. I really think that it's so important to make sure that that's in order, because if it's not, it's like the first thing signifying your body, signifying to you that something's wrong. Mm-hmm. We need to figure out what that's all about. So what are the ways that you attack that situation when someone comes up and they have chronic constipation or constant diarrhea or whatever their thing is?
It's like every person I see, you mean?
Right.
Yeah, it's like everybody. I mean, literally, they come. This is my typical bread and butter patient. I feel like I get hit by a bus in the morning, regardless of how many hours I'm in bed. I have brain fog. I don't think properly. My joints hurt every now and then sometimes. I have eye floaters and my ears ring, and I just feel like I'm 80 years old all the time, right? And then, and so that's the typical patient that I see in general. And then on top of that, if they give me those symptoms, I'm fairly certain that their gut function is just whacked.
Right.
So they either have loose stools with ragged edges, which indicate inflammation, guys. You're not supposed to have loose stools that float all the time with ragged edges. You got inflammation in your gut that way. Mm. And you're also not supposed to have rock hard stools that look like rabbit pellets. Right. You're dehydrated and constipated, right? And so if you're not going twice a day and they're not well-formed stools, your gut's trying to give you hints that there's something wrong. Mm. And whatever bugs are there, heavy metals, they're trying to block out detox pathways so you can be their host forever. Mm. And you'll never heal. So they stop the bile movement, which is antioxidant. It has connected to antioxidants. It emulsifies fats, helps us absorb nutrients. Mm. They're absorbing your nutrition. You can't absorb nutrition if your bile doesn't work properly. There's a detox pathway gone. I have people come to me all the time. I can't sweat. What do I do? I'm beet red. Wow. Go get in the sauna. That's a problem if you can't sweat. You're supposed to be able to sweat every day. So I put people, if your heart rate doesn't go up, if you don't feel like you're going to pass out, let's get you in the sauna 5 minutes every day, 10 minutes every day, 15 minutes. Eventually that sweat pathway is triggered open again. Mm. Exactly. And then they're starting to heal. Then they're ready to get rid of those things that are stored in the fat tissues of their body usually. And on top of that, if they are constipated, things like bitters. bitters before meals. You know, you stimulate that digestive enzyme formation coming from the salivary glands. Think of
like an aperitif or something.
Lemon. Ask Sour Patch Kids, what happens? Mouth waters, right? So that's digestive enzymes coming from the salivary glands in preparation because you're thinking of food, right? So you use bitters, which names, as the namesake implies, they are bitter. Mm-hmm. And 15 minutes before meals, people can then usually take whatever they're trying to eat, digest it. The other thing is you're probably not supposed to eat your meats and cheeses and fruits and vegetables all together while you're driving, watching TV, and chewing twice and then swallowing. Your body's like, what the hell are you doing to me? Right. You have to work 500 times harder. Those digestive enzymes are like little scissors that cut everything up.
Yeah.
And they have to work so hard. Some people's guts just cannot do it. It's like the anvil sitting in their gut. So bitters help to remove the bloating, remove the undigested food in their stool if they're doing all that nonsense, and help things propel forward. And on the meantime, I have them mindfully eating. Stop that nonsense, right?
Just eat, no other things with it. Yeah, no tea.
I probably need to take a break from MCT oil because my stools are loose because I have that every day. So I probably need to take a break and see what they are on their own.
On their own, yeah. See what's going on, because sometimes we are trying to fix things and we think just by using a Band-Aid sometimes that will fit. But it's really just like the check light engine is on your dashboard and you're just kind of covering it up with something and being just keep driving. Yeah. So see what's going on there, because if you're not regular and you're having like fatigue and things.
I am always tired, but I am a single mom of two toddlers. So
it's hard to
know if something's going on or if I'm just a single mom of two toddlers.
I'm just a woman with no kids and I'm tired. I don't know what my excuse is.
And I know. And so my stool is typically loose, and Mercedes has had chronic constipation for as long as I've known her. So,
so there you go.
I've healed a lot of that through so many different trials and tribulations. And now it's really was, I think the last straw, and it's not the only thing that I think healed me, because I had been taking, I've been taking different probiotics monthly. I change each bottle, you know, different strains for like years. And then obviously working on diet, exercise, all the things. But the thing that seemed to push me over the edge finally was really getting into the nitty gritty of how my stomach acid, my bile, and enzymes. So implementing those as supplements. And I did that till I was really, really regular for a good amount of time and then weaned off and literally have stayed regular. When I kind of, you know, if I travel a long time or something like that, it gets a little more dried out. And so we got to kind of re-implement, but there are tools. If you're listening out there and this is something you struggle with, trust, I have so much empathy for you. There are tools, like there is hope. You will figure it out. Just keep on searching. Look up Dr. Jess's page. She will help you. Just trust. It's out there.
I've done celery juice every morning for about 2 years. And then I did do coffee enemas every day for like 3 months. I mean, I was
so proud of you.
That's a lot.
Wow. That is really.
The coffee enemas changed my life.
No, seriously. Some people are listening right now and are like, first of all, enema and coffee do not belong in the same sentence. What are these girls talking about? So, yeah, but literally, you know, I'm an advocate, guys. So yes. I get it. And they're amazing. Anyone out there listening, coffee enemas, when you lie on your right side, they stimulate glutathione, which is the master antioxidant from the liver. And if you could hold them 15 minutes, that's one circulation through the liver. Isn't it? Yeah. I know it's really hard. It's hard and it's so not, hard. It's so daunting, but I did it. I do them. My boyfriend does them now because I just thought,
I don't know if I'll date someone who wouldn't.
Right? It should be a prerequisite. I think, you know, you should be open to this. So, I mean, they save my clients. They save my patients. Yeah. I mean, that's one of my tools in my toolbox. You know, when people, there are some people you can give them all the digestive enzymes, all the bitters in the world. And their gut is like, nope.
Yeah, I feel like it cured my endometriosis because my cramps stopped once I did that for 90 days. Huh. But I also did ACV because I had candida. I could never hold that for more than like 2 or 3 minutes, but that one I did for candida. So
wow,
a very enema.
You guys are so knowledgeable. I'm really impressed, actually. Yeah.
I don't know if that just means we've had so many problems we'd have to seek answers for or...
Oh, goodness.
All right. So with all that said, we could go on for ages. I feel like we need to just have like a dinner with you to have a personal, you know, more personal.
While we talk about poop.
Yeah, I'm game. It's my kind of dinner, you know?
Okay, so with all that, what are some of the most common health issues that you seem to see come through? Maybe most commonly ignored or overlooked or misdiagnosed as well.
Yeah.
Yes, a great question. So, you know, the majority of people I see are women. It's women who are all about the health revolution. Yeah. They're the ones, even if they bring men, they bring them in and they push them in front of me and then go, she brought me. So, you know, so the majority is women. So I see a lot of thyroid problems, which really affect women quite a lot. Autoimmune conditions in general, specifically Hashimoto's and Graves, which are the thyroid problems. Mm-hmm. But just, I mean, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, psoriatic arthritis. I mean, it's unreal to me how sick the younger generation is. You know, my patient population is 20 to 40, 20 to 50. That is young, and they're sicker than our grandparents. And they have you know, chronic illnesses that you're not going to die from, right? But you're going to be sick forever with them. Yeah. And that matters too to me. So it's really concerning to see that. And then on top of that, when I see women so much, I see them really pushed aside about any sort of problems with their cycles, their periods. And you know, there's not an ICD billing code for brain fog. There's not one for, you know, joint pains and eye floaters. And I've gained weight and I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Mm-hmm. And that's the majority of women that come to me, and they're pushed aside by the general traditional medical system and said, you know, just sleep more. You just are in menopause. This is what happens. Yeah. You know, here's a birth control pill, or whatnot. And that's really not an answer for women. And they are fed up when they come to me. And many of them say, you know, I gained weight. I'm so depressed on the pill. My doctor called me crazy. And by the time they come to see me, they've seen 9-10 doctors and they are done.
Yeah.
They know more than a lot of the docs.
Yeah.
I had several doctors ask me to just take like basically a SSRI of some type or some form of Prozac or something like that. I'm like, it's not the answer for what I'm, you know, it was this hormonal issue, but in Western medicine, a lot of the time, from my experience, they look at your charts and they go, no, you're fine. You're within these ranges, but the ranges are not looking at everything. They're not looking at the borderline. They're not looking at all the things that someone else who's an expert in those areas like you are.
That makes me wonder, though, say someone is like a single mom and limited funds. I don't like to say limited funds. They're having to be smart with their money. Yeah. But they need to figure out why they're having all this brain fog or all these other symptoms. What is the best way for them to test and get to the root?
I guess I am the person to ask that. I say, be your own best doctor, right? So how can they get to the root? So, you know, there's all these amazing specialty tests out here now. And Great Plains Lab is one of them. And they do drop ship urine kits to your house, and they test for glyphosate. They test for heavy metals. They test for organic acids, mitochondrial damage. They test for candida, mold, clostridium, all the hidden infections. They really do a great job with the quality of their testing. And then there's people like the GI map. That's like a fingerprint of your gut. It's using DNA and a stool test. Yeah. So it looks at all the different pathogens that can come with that. So, you know, using those kits, they're all about $300, which is relatively affordable for most people, right?
And that's then, for a full panel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. That's different than just going to get a spot blood check. You know, a lot of my problems with hormones sometimes are, you know, they check your cortisol, for example, on a blood test, and they say, oh, it's within normal limits. Well, that's like a snapshot. You know, where's the gradient?
Right.
You know,
I did a saliva and mine was high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, right, you probably spit in a tube 4 times a day and they graft it out and it was an average gradient, right? And that's my problem with traditional medicine. They don't look at the gray area. It's either black and white, all or nothing, diagnosis or not, or otherwise you're dismissed, you know? So, so these single moms, people out there who are being wise with your money, know that there's these specialty tests out there. You can call them up. You can talk to them. Most of them do a 15-minute free consult. And then there are people like me out there who, you know, we're not practicing medicine, we're doing wellness, right? And so I'm going to help you change your life and your diet, and I'm going to help do all the preventative things we've talked about here with you. And I have an online clinic where it's not just me, but a nurse practitioner and, you know, an integrative health practitioner and another doctor. And so you can pick and choose what you like. And we really have tried to keep our packages affordable. And it's really convenient for single moms who have maybe have kids, and it's really hard for them to get to an office across town. So, yeah. So there are options coming. If you struggled in the system, I totally understand. I've heard horror stories. There are changes coming.
Yeah, that's good to hear. So much of what you're doing seems to land you in this world of stealth infections. Like you're saying, that's your expertise, and you're an expert now in Lyme disease and Epstein-Barr, right? So maybe you can tell us a bit about those two viruses and how they're transmitted, how that all works, because I think that's something people have heard, you know, they've heard these words.
Even heard of Epstein-Barr.
Really? Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
Sorry to scare you, but
no, it's okay.
So you know, I know you're about to scare Jade because you're going to get
No, she'll be like, oh yeah, I know.
You know me, I'm always like, I have that.
Yeah.
Well, chances are you do have that, actually, as a matter of fact. Yeah, Mercedes knows the number. You do know the number. I love it. So it is like 90% are seropositive for it by the age of 20, 25 or so. It's mono. You know mononucleosis, Jade. So it's the virus that causes mono, or the kissing disease. And most of us, I'll talk to clients, patients all the time. They'll say, oh my gosh, it was awful. I was out of school and bedridden for a month or two, right? And then I'll ask, it'll all be around some emotional trauma or something too. It's always a perfect storm of activation in the immune system, almost like a brain on fire, a gut on fire because of the trauma that's occurred with this. So with Epstein-Barr, this is a really sneaky virus. I hate this virus. It's literally the devil. There was a study that came out in 2016 out of Cincinnati that showed that it was linked to 7 different autoimmune conditions. And what they showed in the lab was that it was hijacking our B cells, our B lymphocytes, sorts of our soldier cells, and really taking over transcription and in perpetuity. So it literally causes our system to kind of go haywire over time because it's hijacked those soldier cells. It was nuts. And that's linked to things like, you know, type 1 diabetes, juvenile arthritis, lupus, I mean, crazy things, right? So there's another link for hidden infections. And the way that's transmitted, obviously, the kissing disease is transmitted by kissing. It's airborne, so it's very, very, very highly contagious. Some of us don't even remember having it and are still positive for it, right? So that happens quite a bit as well. And the problem with the testing is people will do a blood test and they'll say, okay, you know, you don't have an acute infection because they check IgM antibodies, which indicate an infection right then. They also check IgG antibodies, which is a chronic infection. And then they'll say, okay, it's no problem. You had it in the past. But there are certain levels you can check, like a viral capsid antigen, an early nuclear antigen, and Epstein-Barr. If those are high, that indicates a chronic ongoing infection. That's not okay if those are in the 500s and they're supposed to be in the 30s. That indicates there's still a problem there. And that virus really hides well. It hides in a sticky biofilm, just like spirochetes, which are the bacteria in Lyme disease. And moving on to Lyme disease, that's a corkscrew-shaped bacterium. So it's very reminiscent of syphilis, which will burrow into cranial tissue and bone and really affect us for years and years and years while hiding and no one can find it. And a lot of these infections, they aren't found in the bloodstream. So when we do blood tests, they're not exactly accurate. These hidden infections oftentimes hide the mucous membranes, joint fluid, the lymph. And why would they hide in the blood? That's where our soldier cells are.
And so now you I've heard you bring up that Lyme is, there's a potential for it to be sexually transmitted because of the shape.
Correct. Absolutely. So I was hoping you'd pick up on that when I mentioned syphilis. Yeah. We so readily accept that syphilis can, is it STD? It can cause brain trauma and degeneration over time with tertiary syphilis, but we don't feel the same way about Lyme because although it's a different type of bacteria, it's the same class because they're functionally the same, right, as a corkscrew-shaped bacterium. And so it behaves the same way, hides, burrows into tissues, and can really cause problems later on in life. And unfortunately, our blood tests are lacking.
Yeah. So we can pretty much, at this point, it sounds like, consider ourselves people who harbor these. Yeah, we're harboring Epstein-Barr and likely Lyme disease, right? With what the statistics are at now. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, most likely some form of the herpes virus, HSV-1 or 2 or both. So I want to get into that a little bit too with you.
Yeah, what can
That's another stealth infection. How prominent is HSV-1 and 2 and that's the herpes virus for anyone listening, in the population today? And how is it related to other stealth infections, or how does it come along with them?
And just so you guys know, those have really been demonized, but there's a bunch of herpes viruses. There's human herpes virus 6. There's all kinds of herpes viruses that cause problems. 95% of people are seropositive again for herpes 1, and that causes cold sores, right? Mm-hmm. Water filled vesicles on the lips that are painful.
So many of my friends have those.
Yeah, I mean, it's really common. And you can get rid of those, even though they lie dormant in the nerves in the body. They lie in a certain dermatome. That's why they always come out in the nerve in the exact same place, the same time, right? Mm-hmm. Herpes 2 is really the same infection in a different place. It's just in the reproductive organs, right? Yeah. So it's sexually transmitted, and they actually think if you have herpes 1, that could be protective for picking up herpes 2, because your body has seen the virus, right? So you've made antibodies to it, right? So that's the interesting thing. And unfortunately, with herpes 2, we think, you know, at least 1 out of 4 people, maybe even the stats are 1 out of 3 at this point in time, have it. And so we've all been exposed, right? It's 50% of the population has HPV. And 90% of women clear it, right? So
How do they clear HPV?
That's the question of the hour. However, the magic hour, I should say, right? Question of the magic hour. So, however, usually people who clear it don't smoke. These are the stats that we know. And then I'll give you my opinion. They don't smoke. They have a pretty healthy diet. They don't have a lot of sexual partners, right? So you're not re-exposing yourself. Yeah. Probably is what that means. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, they don't have a high stress life. Stress is so underplayed. And so if you run and get rid of a lot of these viruses, that's the number one thing I'm addressing with people. It's like, you know, any sort of trauma they've endured over the years, any sort of stress they continue, toxic people and things in their life they continue to go back to, you know, and then on top of that, we have to revolutionize their thinking, their life, their sleep habits, everything. I have to look at their neurotransmitters, their mitochondria, or hidden infections. It's an all-on war on basically what society has done.
That's so crazy, because I had HPV and then I just got tested like a month ago, and they said I didn't have anything, and I was like, well, I have HPV, and they're like, no, you don't have that. And I was like, oh, must be the celery juice.
Actually, you know what? Actually, that's not a bad idea. And let me tell you, it sounds crazy to people, but let me tell you where your funny intuition may be a little right here. So celery juice helps to reset the pH of the gut. And you want an acidic pH. That's why proton pump inhibitors are so bad. They're blocking the pH forming ability of your gut. So your gut becomes more alkaline, which is makes it really, really, really hospitable to a lot of pathogens, right? Mm-hmm. You want it acidic. That wards them off. So if celery juice is resetting the pH of your gut, mm-hmm. you may be a little more acidic gut. You may be breaking your food down better, not as bloated, right? Are you not as bloated after celery juice?
It's
resetting your pH.
Yeah.
So that, you know, this is the opening to the gut. Your vagina is also reflective of gut pH and the gut flora. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So does the Kilbine sweat, does that protocol work for removing all of these things that we just talked about?
Yes. And that is why you guys are all on the same wavelength. Because
what was coming up for me that is really near and dear to my heart is vaccine injured children. So say a mother notices her child just got vaccinated and she's starting to notice the warning signs. Can she quickly do on her infant or 2-year-old, can she quickly do your protocol to remove it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because I'm a crazy psycho dog mom. My dog got like 6 vaccines in one day, and I ran home and I gave her probiotics and chlorella and spirulina to bind things up. And what else? Oh, SBI Protect, which is a glandular that is dumping immune cells into the mucous membranes. So yeah, you absolutely can do things. Kill, bind, sweat, you know, binding and sweating, that gets heavy metals and toxicities out too. Absolutely, it does.
I don't do binding, so that's what I need to add.
Key.
So I still want to have, I just want to finish this piece on all these stealth infections that we brought up. Yeah. Is there, all these are known as incurable, right? To the mainstream. So you're not the mainstream, that's why we're asking you this. So what is curable to your mind? Is it all curable to some degree? What does that mean to you? And how do we do it?
Everyone is different, right? And there are some people that are always going to be mysteries. I hate that, but I hate saying that reality, but it is a reality. In general, if people come to me in time, when symptoms are beginning and they're listening to their body, yes. I've gotten, you know, people with MS to run 8 minutes and not be bedridden. You know, I've people with fibromyalgia are glowing and don't have pain anymore. Mm-hmm. Traditional medicine did a really good job of labeling a constellation of symptoms. But if you take away the name of whatever diagnosis you have, it's really things like pain or fatigue, or it's really what people come to me every day about. So a diagnosis is helpful to know what treatment you want to give, but if you know how the body works and you know that if you put great things in and you are able to work the kidneys, the liver, the bile, the sweat pathways, your body will get that shit out.
Wow. I love that as a magic trick, just thinking about taking away the label of the disease and thinking of it as, how are you feeling? Like listening to your body and saying, what do you feel like today and how do I need to treat from that
angle? Yeah.
What about with the binding? Is there a certain time of day that is most beneficial? If you take your supplements in the morning, you don't want to take your charcoal and then your supplements are going out with the charcoal, right? So when is
exactly
the best time of day and around what else that you're putting in your body?
Exactly. So first and foremost, if people, if their guts are a hot mess, then I will give them something like Biocidin, which is a liquid liposomal formula, rather than give them my own product, Microbiomaster. Listen, I love it. I think my product's the best. I formulated it. I love it. Mm-hmm. However, if people can't process a capsule, I have to be mindful of that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times I'll start them on something liquid. You wait about 45 minutes to an hour to make sure that that's absorbed into the body, whether a liquid or a capsule. Then you're safe to take the binder, right? So take the binder. 10 minutes or so after the binder, go get in a sauna. That binder is starting to work in your system to mop things up. The sauna will start working things up, start circulating the toxins. So you want something to mop them up so you don't get headaches. You don't get brain foggy. You don't feel more fatigued, get a fever, right? Because when your body sees things that it missed, it's going to go on high alert.
Right.
So you want to bind those things up. Then you have to get them out, which is why I say go sweat.
Yeah.
So as long as you're not eating an hour before, an hour after the binder, you're good. So for most people, and this is very tailored and specific to each client or patient, but for most people, I have them killing and binding twice a day and sweating in the evening or morning. So picking that once a day, the sweating.
Okay.
Yeah.
Y'all are getting free advice here. I'm telling you, this is good.
So what also we were curious, what is the deal with all of the hormonal imbalance that I feel like I've seen in myself and in so many of my friends and family members of late? Like, where is this epidemic rooted and how are our personalities directly related to our hormones?
I love that question. So hormones, they're so important. I think they're the scaffolding of our personalities. And I think that because when I had the IUD and they yanked that thing out and I went into menopause, I was crazy. I was a crazy person. And so I know that when your hormones are messed up, it really is your color of your life is turned down, if you will. And so I really feel for women that brush aside so much for this. And you've probably just been given the pill. Here's the pill. Yeah. Here's the pill for this. So, and then the labs are lacking. So the Dutch test is so important for women, you guys. The Dutch test, oh my goodness. Dr. Carrie Jones, she's the CEO. If you don't follow her on Instagram, you should follow her too. She's queen of hormones. and Dr. Jolene Brighton, who wrote, I'll shout both my friends out here,
yes.
wrote Beyond the Pill. And so, and they're the queen of hormones, but we all echo the same sentiment here. So the tests are lacking. The Dutch test is a dipstick urine test, and you can spit in the tube 4 times a day and look at your cortisol too. It also looks at neurotransmitters, that it grasps out every byproduct of estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and tells you if you're detoxing the estrogen on the correct pathway in the liver. And that's a risk factor for breast cancer if you're doing it the wrong way, like me.
Huh.
So, yeah, so that tells you exactly what kind of herbs you need to fix your cycle. And so many women I see, so many women, especially if there's a hidden infection, there's a certain pattern I see on the hormones.
Yes.
And that is an estrogen dominance.
That's you, Mercedes, right?
Estrogen dominance.
I'm a little all over the place, but yes.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
And then, or it can be a progesterone deficiency, and the body views that the same way. If it has too much estrogen or too little progesterone, you're going to feel puffy, irritated. Oftentimes,
I'm low in progesterone, and that's
you don't sleep well at all. Then probably
no, I don't.
Yeah. So progesterone stands for progestation. It's what carries a baby safely to term. It also is an anti-anxiety calming hormone, so it helps women sleep through the night soundly. Without it, you will wake up and never feel rested.
That's me.
Yeah. So
I had two babies back to back with a C-section and a very traumatic relationship.
It's gotten
better. And I do like the bioidentical progesterone cream.
Yes.
But I still don't feel like I'm...
So, yeah, exactly. So we need to help rebuild your progesterone. It's really important. And you're so young, it's not... putting you on bioidentical hormones, cream's okay, but I wouldn't necessarily jump to a pill for you right away, because they're kind of like digestive enzymes. They're great for a little short time, but if you're on them chronically, their body's like, oh, you got this.
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't got to reproduce. Yeah. You know, so you got to be mindful of that too. There's a reason that's happening to you. And oftentimes when people have something like candida or mold, any sort of tick associated illness, I will see them have either high estrogen, low progesterone, and just their adrenal axis be wiped. Like they're hardly any DHEA, peaked off the charts cortisol or bottom out cortisol. And they're always wired but tired or exhausted, like they got hit by a train. Mm-hmm. And they're puffy and irritated, screaming at people that they love closest to them and not sleeping well.
Yeah.
And that is, think about how many environmental toxicities we have out here. I mean, triclosan and dial soap is now labeled an endocrine disruptor. Do you know I used that for 17 years of my life?
Almost all of our soaps have that. It starts with the word methyl.
Paraben, methyl, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Every soap and lotion has that in it, which is every laundry detergent, everything.
It's everything. It's so many petroleum products. And so, you know, our hormones are very sensitive. Our hormonal systems are very interconnected. They all talk. They're very sensitive. And a lot of these endocrine disruptors bind to estrogen receptors and make our body think that it's our estrogen. And then we really can't behave properly with hormones at that point. And if they're hidden infections, they're going to spin your neurotransmitters out of whack. They're going to spin your hormones out of whack. And you're going to feel like a shell of who you originally were. Mm-hmm.
So what's the best way to balance our hormones?
Yes. So first of all, remove all inflammation from your life, including food and people and situations, right? So, and that's really important because I tell people hormones they're like a stool, right? And it has four legs. One is blood sugar. One is adrenals. One is estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. And one is the thyroid. And if any of those legs are unscrewed, the whole stool is wobbly and unstable. And so you can see how many people with hormonal issues or adrenal thyroid issues then start to have like blood sugar issues and get diagnosed with like PCOS or something. It's all tied in on that same axis. And so you have to make sure all those legs are screwed and straight. Is your thyroid okay? You know, are your adrenal glands okay? If not, we got to save them things. We got to fix whatever's going on in your life, whatever knocked them out in the first place. And there's a lot of that goes into that. Then we need to make sure that you're blood sugars are okay. Do you get hangry if you skip meals? Can you sleep through the night without waking up starving? This is all connected to your sex hormones, right? And then there's a lot of reasons that they're not behaving properly. Were you on birth control forever? Did you have an IUD like me that can knock out hormones? You know, do you have inflammation or something else underlying, a hidden infection somewhere? Are there heavy metals peaking them? What's going on? You know, so you see how it's really an investigative process.
Yeah, and pregnancy is such a big stressor too. And it's like, there's so many women out there
for 3 years straight.
Well, there's so many women out there wanting to get pregnant and not being able to, but the first thing to look at is that how stressed out is your body? It doesn't want to get pregnant right now. It has some other shit it's probably trying to figure out. So
it's protecting you. It's protecting you. Yeah.
So can your womb doesn't feel safe right now.
Why do you think so many women are having issues with getting pregnant? What are your words on that?
You know, it really, that's so tied into what we've been saying. I really do believe it's environmental toxicities. And then I'm seeing mitochondrial damage more and more, and oxidative damage that comes from stress and the environment, environmental stress as well. That really wears and ages, decreases the amount of our mitochondria. And mitochondria, our maternal DNA comes from there. That's really what's passed on throughout the generations. And that really helps people get stay fertile and get pregnant. Mm-hmm. And without that, you're going to have trouble. And then I see people, man, you have low progesterone, high estrogen. Like I said, progesterone stands for progestation. Without it, you're not going to be able to carry and hold a pregnancy. And I see that so much. Thyroid issues. It's 1 in 3 women. Thyroid issues. If you're hypothyroid, you're really going to have trouble holding a pregnancy and carrying that. So that whole axis I was talking about is so delicate. And it's probably 1 in 3 women I see, 1 in 2 women I see that have issues with that. And society tells us it's so normal to be type A and stressed out all the time that we don't even, we think we're the weird ones. What's wrong with me?
Right.
What's wrong with society?
What, those 4 stool legs, what's the easiest way to test for those?
So
blood or urine, like you said, the other, or
the Dutch test. So you'll hit the adrenals, and you'll hit all estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. You also get the neurotransmitters, some, you know, looking at glutathione, look at some B vitamin levels and serotonin. Okay. So what you'll indirectly be able to tell some things about the thyroid. You will be able to tell if the liver is sluggish or not as well. Mm-hmm. So there are things that a trained practitioner who looks at that test can be able to infer pretty accurately as well with a good history. So I think that test is great. If you want to directly look at the thyroid, you need a full thyroid panel, not that nonsense, just thyroid stimulating hormone. That's a thyroid stimulating hormone. That is not the thyroid hormones. Mm-hmm. It's bad science just to check a TSH. You need to check a free T4, which then has to convert into the active free T3. So many doctors don't even check that. That's the only active thyroid hormone. So, you know, you can see how so much is missed by the general system, right? And so they'll be like, you're fine. You're fine. Yeah. Well, they didn't even do all the lab work that's needed to tell you you're fine. Mm-hmm. So that's the way to start. The Dutch test, the blood test for the thyroid, you know, a simple hemoglobin A1C, which is the 3-month measure of blood sugars, will tell you if your blood sugars are doing okay. Fasting blood sugars often enough as well. And then last but not least, like I said, adrenals and sex hormones on the Dutch test. So you'll have an accurate picture at that point.
Beautiful. Okay. So what about our dudes? I mean, I feel like they're getting wacky hormones too. It's not just us ladies. What's the situation?
You say hormones, you think women. But
Well, you got to think, for a long time they were injecting animals with hormones, right? To make them grow bigger, right? The faster yields, right? So that we eat antibiotics that are given to animals, that ruins our gut. We eat hormones given to animals that affects our hormonal systems, right? So a lot of men, I think, were really affected by that, especially our parents' generation. Mm-hmm. Really, really affected by that, unfortunately.
And when we were told milk is so necessary.
Yeah, and milking pregnant cows. Wonder what the estrogen levels are in those, and the antibiotic levels, mind you. So it's just sort of like you wipe out the gut flora, which helps to activate and deactivate hormone levels in general. So then you've got hormones that can't be activated because the gut is inflamed and, you know, whacked. And then you have, on top of that, you have people who really are exposed to so many environmental toxicities. Those endocrine disruptors really affect men as well too. And if they have estrogen mimicking or endocrine disruptors that are in their body, they're also going to have high estrogen, which means they're going to grow boobs. They're not going to be able to have as much muscle mass, right? They're going to get to have the difficulty detoxing testosterone, right? Down the wrong pathways too, because of the inflammation.
Wow. I wonder if this is why girls are starting their periods at 8, 9 years old too. I mean, not wonder. I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Your hormones are a mess.
Gosh, there's so much to think about there, and so much to to figure out how to apply to our lives, but it is important stuff. I'm so glad we're talking to you about this.
Absolutely.
We have a question from our magic mob. Lena on Facebook asks, I've heard root canals can be a place where self-infections hide. Can you speak on that? And she has a backup question, which is, are breast implants or other surgeries something that opens you to more risk of these infections as well?
Lena has been watching me. Yes. Yeah. So, yes, great questions. Absolutely. I've kind of made it my platform lately to talk about man-made objects that are placed in the body that can really cause a problem, and they're going under the radar of women, and people in general are being called crazy. A number of my patients at this point in time have had root canals checked on them because they'll have symptoms of biotoxin illness, meaning mold or Lyme, a lot of eye floaters, ear ringing, brain fog, migraines, you know, weird sensations, creepy crawly skin sensations, and just not able to live and function in daily life. And they've really been called crazy. And then you'll check their house, no mold. You'll check that, you know, their Lyme test is negative potentially, maybe or maybe not. And then you'll start asking, you know, have you had a root canal? Do you have breast implants? And they'll say, yeah, I've had, you know, three root canals, or I've had one root canal. And I tell them, go look at a cone beam x-ray, which goes around your face completely. You know, the ones you have to stand there and they go all the way around. And that is able to look up underneath the teeth. And I've had plenty of patients go in and have abscesses all the way up to their jaw, where they had to have major surgery to remove that. And then their symptoms go away. And when you do a DNA connections test, which is an oral swish and spit test using DNA, obviously, then they'll come back. Just the scariest things, actinomyces, mold, different species of mold growing in the mouth, aspergillus. I mean, they've seen spirochetes in saliva. Remember, they don't hide in the blood. So it's, you know, they're absolutely, a root canal can, tiny little porous channels in the teeth, right? So if you cut the ligament off, the body doesn't know to repair. It's a signal not to repair the dead tissue there. So it's cut off from the blood supply. Meanwhile, you have a bunch of bacteria and small porous channels that can insidiously seed the cranial cavity. And over time, you know, unfilled cavities are the same way. Even cavitations from wisdom teeth removal, any sort of gum pulling away from the tooth can cause, you know, food to be collected in there and cause a cavitation, which can cause a root or systemic problem, an infection throughout the body. It's a root cause. If you guys ever heard of that movie on Netflix, that was a very accurate root movie. Yes. And then breast implants, the same type of, you know, theory behind that. They actually just recalled textured implants because they're linked to anaplastic large cell lymphoma. Which is a more rare type of lymphoma. It's rare, but still it is linked. And on top of that, they have a number, they're a bag of heavy metals. They're literally a floating bag of heavy metals and preservatives. And so, and they have a lifetime. They do. And so do root canals. It's 8 to 10 years usually for most people. These are man-made procedures. They don't last your whole lifetime. Yeah. So if they start to leach, a lot of women I have joint pains that start to occur, young women, and they've had these implants not that long sometimes, and immediately when they get them out and they recover, they feel better. Yeah. And, you know, who are we to call these women crazy? They're coming to me in droves. I mean, they're not making this up.
Yeah.
Now we just got to work on changing the psyche around how we're supposed to look a certain way.
That's what I was about to say. There's so much pressure to get Botox and implants. Yeah. All this
stuff. What do we do about root canals? I mean, obviously with implants, we would have to remove and scrape all the stuff out, and we get how that works. But with a root canal situation, or when you have your teeth, you know, full of all kinds of holes in there that stuff could be growing in, what's our best protocol there?
So really, if it's not a front tooth, I will tell people if it's in the back, please just have it pulled. Even an implant, which has its own set of issues, and I'm no dentist, so definitely ask a dentist, but you know, even an implant can weaken the gum line for some people. So nothing is perfect, but not having a dead tissue in the tooth or in the face is a better option for me. So a lot of people always say, just pull it. If you can do an implant, great. But if it's in the back and you don't care, pull it.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
There's another question from the Magic Mob. Yes. Randall on Instagram asked, should we worry about eating sushi or other foods that are infamous for carrying parasites? I know sushi, I was more concerned about the heavy metals, but he's asking about parasites.
Yeah, you know, both of those are great questions. Absolutely, you know, the sicker and more stripped our soils and our oceans are, the sicker the wildlife is, the sicker we are, because we are part of the food chain. Mm-hmm. So, you know, absolutely, that I do think that there is a risk for parasites in fish. There have been studies that show that fish are improperly labeled at the majority of major sushi restaurants in major cities across the U.S. And then, you know, that begs the question, are they changed to lower quality fish? Which, yes, the answer in that study was yes. And so you have farmed fish now being sold in most restaurants that's full of heavy metals in general, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. and parasites too. The fish are sick as well. They'll live in an ocean full of plastic, right? And industrial toxins. So that absolutely is a risk.
Such a bummer.
Yeah, I used to love sushi, and I just can't bring myself to eat it anymore.
It's my favorite thing in the world, besides pizza, sushi. So it's heartbreaking.
Both probably not great on the gut. I've heard you say before, like, just kind of knock gluten completely out of there and dairy out of there, right?
Yes.
Those are so good, though.
Those are the best.
I don't have much of a hard time cutting out, but, I mean, I get gluten-free and dairy-free cheese, but sushi.
That's the big one.
Even in our like dairy-free cheese, you still can't read the label, so I don't know if we should be putting any of those gums and stuff, whatever, sar gum. I don't know. See, you can't pronounce it. I can't pronounce it.
I'm just like, yeah, you know, if you're avoiding gluten, some of the other additives and fillers aren't much better sometimes. It's true.
A lot of gluten-free bread has a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
Yes.
True that. Yeah. So, okay, I want to talk to you about treating cancer using the Garrison therapy, which you are, this is one of your specialties. So, just give us the rundown on Garrison therapy.
So Garrison therapy, I've been involved with them now for, gosh, it's almost 4 years now. And they are really the ones who taught me about coffee enemas. That's who Garrison is. That Dr. Garrison was known for carrot, apple, and a green juice. And on aggressive Garrison therapy, we have clients doing 13 juices a day, 4 to 5 coffee enemas per day, and a number of supplements that include digestive enzymes and curcumin and things like that. And so absolutely, I've seen it work wonders for people. Yeah. Some people come to us, it's too late. You know, they're late stage 4 and they're not able to keep up a rigorous Garrison therapy because it's super intensive and does not get easier over the 2 years. So, but yeah, it's amazing, guys. And I can't tell you, I've incorporated coffee enemas now into all my healing with patients, and I'm eternally grateful to Garrison for that. But yeah, it's amazing to watch what a body can do when you're putting good things out and you're detoxing the pathways. And that's sort of the foundation of Garrison.
Right. So in a circumstance where someone can't use, you know, Garrison therapy, or they like these coffee enemas are going to be too much, too taxing on them, should we be using chemotherapy, or when is that the right treatment?
So there are a few cancers that are extremely, extremely, you know, I don't want to say curable, but treatable, and sometimes curable with chemotherapy. You know, certain leukemias, really, really treatable with chemotherapy and curable. Certain, you know, prostate cancer, for example, in young people, a lot of times, testicular cancer in young people, not prostate, testicular cancer in young people a lot of times. And so a lot of the childhood cancers are really, really cured by chemotherapy. But, you know, there are certain cancers that are very prevalent. The incidence is really high, and chemotherapy doesn't make much of a difference. And oftentimes that's things like breast cancer, colon cancer, lung cancer. You know, those are three huge cancers that oftentimes there's not much of a difference made with chemotherapy, unfortunately. And then you have, with chemotherapy, it's really like a nuclear bomb going off in the body. It doesn't discriminate a lot of times between the good and the bad cells, unless you have immunotherapy, which is kind of the new standard of chemotherapy, which is better. It targets disease cells more so than our great microbiome, right? So that's my problem with chemotherapy, is it is a poison. And it is us taking a chance and taking a poison to eradicate good and bad in the body, hoping that it wins in our favor, right?
Yes. So how much do genetic mutations versus environmental or external factors come into play when we're talking about cancer risk?
So yeah, that's a great question. I'm going to turn the slide on here. That's a great question. So basically, genetic mutations, I mean, I have a stage 4 lung cancer patient right now who's never smoked a day in her life. And she's one of the 10% of lung cancers that has a genetic mutation. Wow. And then it begs the question, where did that genetic mutation come from? Right. and there wasn't cancer, you know, one in two people, one in three people are going to end up with a cancer risk in their lifetime. It wasn't that way. It wasn't when our great, great grandparents were around. And so what's changed? And that's the level of corporate pollution, environmental pollution out there. In society, we have to learn to change because we're keeping people ill. So, you know, that I think is what the difference is at this point.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot. I feel like there's a lot in there to unpack. It feels like we want to say, I'm not going to be, you know, subject to that because it doesn't run in my family. Or you don't know really what runs in your family because it goes far enough back. But also, environmental toxins is a real thing, and it's just growing and growing as more and more.
Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I was going to say too that hidden infections actually can block out detox pathways and cause mutations as well. So that's the new horizon of medicine that's coming out. Yeah. Is that a lot of these, you know, not just environmental toxicities, but living organisms can actually cause gene mutations that lead to a triggered pathway, an autoimmune condition, a cancer diagnosis. So
yeah.
And there's lots of stuff.
When it comes to our genetic mutations, you've said before, if you're sick and you can't figure out why, it's in your genes, which is like, we got to look into
that
stuff.
It's also so frustrating too, though, to think about how we trust, like back, you know, before we were so exposed to the type of knowledge that we are now, our moms were all putting baby powder in our diapers,
right?
You know, causes cervical cancer, which runs in my family. And it's so frustrating to know that, like, sometimes we think we're doing the best thing for our children and we, you know. So that part is really frustrating to me. It makes me feel a little bit helpless, but at least now knowledge is made way more available to us. And there's people like you out there that is,
at our fingertips, hopefully.
Yes.
If we choose to search it out, right?
So another thing, you're an expert in so many things. This is why we had to cover them all with you, I felt like. So CBD use in cancer patients.
Yes.
You are the CBD expert. So is that just for pain or is it healing in other ways when it comes to cancer?
So CBD is great for pain, for insomnia, for inflammation. I would not say that. I do feel like THC is needed to help with cancer apoptosis or cell death. And that's what the studies have shown. That's why Rick Simpson oil, if made cleanly and extracted in the proper way, is really helpful for a lot of people. And CBD can help temper the effects of chemotherapy, as can just general cannabis. But if you're looking more for something that, you know, really helps cancer, not just side effects, but fight cancer, hopefully, you do need some THC in there.
Is that meaning that like the CBD oil itself needs a little bit of THC, or you like can smoke a little THC and then take your oil? Or
no, I would say oils are the most medicinal because you can count how many milligrams are in per drop, right? Which you can't do in an edible or that has sugar in it, or if you're smoking, right? So.
All right. There's a few short questions we like to ask everyone who comes on the show. First off, if you could hug your younger self right now, what would you say?
Probably something that everyone else would say, like believe in yourself and you don't need as much help as you think you do.
I like that. How old were you when you're hugging yourself there? Who needed?
Nine. Yeah.
If you could have the whole world read one book, which would it be?
Ooh. The Four Agreements. The Four Agreements.
Awesome. Great.
We had his son on the show.
I love him. Yeah.
All right. If you could whisper one phrase to everyone on the planet, what would it be?
Every day, ask yourself if you're the highest version of who you're supposed to become.
I love that. I feel like you are like living proof of asking that question every day. Like, I feel like you are really working in your most authentic self right now.
It comes across
in the way that
you guys.
Your information
thank you so much.
Before we let you go, where can people find you online?
So you can find me online. www.drjess.com is my website. We are launching Binder Master, my new binder soon, and a new website soon, actually. And also at Dr. Period, Dr. Period, Jess Period, MD period or MD on Instagram. And then Dr. Jessica Petros on my business Facebook. So, and reach out to us, guys. We have the online clinic, so we're willing to help.
Yes. Follow. Gain so much good knowledge just from following her. And I know we'll have a line of our listeners ready to be one of your patients.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Thank you so much.
I need to figure, so I need to have a personal, one-on-one with you as well. So I'll contact you about that.
I'm just going to listen back to this episode. But to recap really quick, progesterone cream, bioidentical. And then for my daughter, I can't really do much, right? For the mold.
You can do some stuff with her gut, for sure.
With her gut. Okay.
Yes.
On her gut.
Okay. Yes. Absolutely.
Right. Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. Thanks for having me. It was awesome. Great questions. Thank you.
Man.
Yes.
I'm going to have to listen to this a couple of times.
I'm serious. Yes, I know. And, you obviously could tell in this episode, I'm such a big fan because I just think she has so much really valuable knowledge for people to hear and has been on both sides of the track. You know, like, it comes from this place of unbiased in the sense that she was a Western medical doctor, did that for so long, and then and now is working in this holistic field. Because she knew that was needed. And it's just like really cool to see someone embodying that. Also, I feel like all the doctors we've had on thus far are women, which I don't know.
I don't mind it.
Go gals. I know it wasn't on purpose, but okay, girl.
But I'm so glad we got her on because I feel like this is someone that you've been telling me, like, I really want to have this person on for a really long time. Like, we always throw names out there, but this is someone that you've consistently said you've wanted to have on for a long time.
Yes, because I've already, just from following her, I've seen so many answers in my life come about. I know our listeners need the same stuff, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for providing that value, Dr. Jess. All right. So what do you got for a magic trick today, Jade?
Well, we kind of already went into it, but, you had mentioned doing CBD oil, which I do drink every night, but it doesn't have,
THC.
I think all CBD has a little bit of THC in it. 'Cause when you get tested, they can't tell the difference. So that might be the case, but, I use just throwing it out there. I use Pure Spectrum. You can say code Jade, on your checkout and you get 10 to 20% off depending on the product. So you can try that. But my magic trick, if you want to listen to that, is on Elias's episode. Tonight, I wanted to offer the advice or invite you to try drinking celery juice on an empty stomach first thing in the morning, which we did bring up with Dr. Jess. But most of the info that I have off of it actually comes from Medical Medium, who we would also love to have on the show.
Yes.
And this is something I've been doing almost daily for about 2 years now. The number one difference that it's made for me, which she brought up, was the bloating, the skin issues, and period cramps, because it's one of the best anti-inflammatory things you could take besides turmeric. And so it's really good for pain. But the stuff that Medical Medium says about it, I listed it here, it fights autoimmune disease, helps eradicate strep bacteria. It's critical for chronic acid reflux, neutralizes and flushes toxins out of the liver, kills Epstein-Barr and shingles virus, brings down toxic liver heat, raises hydrochloric acid and helps the liver produce bile, powerful weapon against SIBO and bloating, and it contains undiscovered sodium cluster salts that are critical for the brain. That's 10 of the top benefits, but it goes on. It helps protect brain cells to prevent dementia, Alzheimer's, and memory issues. Neutralizes neurotoxins. It's a potent antiviral, just so many things. So pretty much anything that I feel like with CBD as well, anything that you're trying to work on, celery juice is only gonna help. And I do it on an empty stomach every morning, and then I wait 30 minutes before I have my matcha. I wait 30 minutes before even having water. I don't have anything. I just let my body absorb the celery juice. It's really good for your digestion as well.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I will say, though,
you need to use a slow masticating juicer, because if you're just using a blender or just a cheap juicer, you're not receiving the full benefits. The slow masticating juicer is basically chewing it up for you and getting those benefits that like you're needing to absorb. Otherwise, you're just missing out.
Yeah, I don't know if this is accurate at all, but see our disclaimer for that. But I was just going to say that I think the slow masticating, the idea of it is to, like you're saying, kind of chew it for you in a sense, but that doesn't tear up the enzymes that are in the actual food itself. So that still gets delivered, you know, through that the juice accurate. That you drink.
Yeah.
Whereas a blender would wreck that.
Right.
Process. So anyway, I don't know. I'm not no scientist, as you can tell. But I have not done the celery juice thing because I do not have a juicer that is slow masticating. And the juicer I have makes such a freaking mess that, I'm not doing that.
I have the AICOK brand, AICOK. I got it off Amazon. This is not an ad. I got it on special for $79. I've had it 2 years. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily fun to clean up, but you can make... Your celery juice is good for 3 days. So you can make 3 days at a time so that you're only having to do the cleanup every 3 days. And it's so, so worth it. So.
Yeah. Yep. I got to implement that. All right. Well, my magic trick actually comes from Dr. Jess, something that I picked up off of her social media, I think a few months ago now. Yeah. Like at least 3 months ago. This is to get a massage every week or, get trade massages with your partner if that's possible once a week.
Yeah.
That's a little cheaper option for sure, because I know I'm going broke on buying these dang weekly massages.
Kyle, you know, bought that massage table, and him and his wife alternate, I think every Sunday they alternate getting
that's
massages.
Amazing.
So they're getting two a month.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And what you want to do is a limp massage if possible. And if you can find a therapist who does that, that's been my kind of struggle, is finding a therapist specifically limp masseuse, you know, lymph, moving your lymph through massage. Mm. So the reason you want to do this is because most of us are dealing with stuck lymph, which is a big problem because the lymphatic system holds toxins, viruses, hidden bacteria. It's basically the body's sewer system. And so peppered within this lymphatic system are lymph nodes where your soldier cells and the BNT lymphocytes are made there. What she was talking about earlier, they go out on patrol. And so the lymphatic system is an issue when it's stuck because it doesn't have its own pump. You have to move it by actually physically moving your body or moving the lymph like through massage or negative pressure, like jumping on a trampoline. So if it's sluggish, it might mean you're dealing with cellulite or puffiness, which can hide certain infections and especially viral infections, all of which we talked about today with Dr. Jess, all of which you don't want in your body. So if you can have somebody help you move your lymph, then I think that's a great goal. Weekly is best. And if you can find a masseuse to do that, that's awesome. That's what I'm trying to do. Her actual meme, I think it's pretty little strong, blurb here. It says, since viruses hide from the body's defense, since viruses hide from the body's defenses in the lymph nodes, as well as BNT immune cells, lymphatic drainage and massage is a necessary part of healing. Your body cannot heal what it cannot see. So basically, you are doing these massages or doing this, you know, trampoline movement or whatever the movement is to get all that stuff moving through your body out in the open so that your body's, systems of detoxification can see it, those, you know, ugly viruses and bacteria and whatever else is hiding in there, and take it out of your body. So you got to get that stuff moving is the point.
I never, ever, ever think about that or like make that a priority. So we both need to incorporate each other's magic tricks.
Yeah.
Big time.
We will. We will. So before we sign off, we want to remind you of the little giveaway we've got going on
for Magic Mobbers. Basically, all you have to do is leave us a rating and a review on your podcast app. You could do it right now while you're still listening to the show. And once you've written your review, just snapshot it, post it on Instagram, and tag our Instagram, which is at The Magic Hour, spelled M-A-J-I-C, so that we can see it. And we will be picking a couple winners each month to get a $100 Amazon gift card. So that could be you. You could be our lucky winner.
Yes. All right, Magic Mobbers, thank you so much for tuning in and taking this journey with us. If this episode held some magic for you, please share it with your friends and family. This would mean so much to us, you guys. And don't forget to join us on our Instagram page at The Magic Hour and let us know what your favorite episodes have been so far. We appreciate all your feedback and want to know what's lighting you up.
Yes, we do. And just a little reminder, we release a new episode every Monday, so you can catch us again next week or go listen to some of our past episodes in our podcast library right now. We'll meet you there. Until then,
be a light. Big thank you to @RaytoneRoyal for our intro jam and to John Aaron Garza from Real In Motion Productions for producing this show. Stay magical, friends.
Quick disclaimer. We are not medical professionals, so following any of our protocols or advice should be done at your own risk, people. And please remember to always, always do your own research. Tap into that extraordinary growth mindset we all have access to within ourselves and seek out your own answers. Come on, guys, you know the deal. And by the way, if you are a medical professional or an expert in any topic we cover and you feel we are not giving accurate information about it, please find somewhere to contact us. Contact us via social or email us at our website and let us know. A major goal of ours in doing this podcast is to bring value to people's lives by sharing helpful insights and info. So we welcome being corrected at any time, and we'll be happy to share any of our fuck-ups with our listeners so as to get us all back on track to discovering our happiest, healthiest selves.